Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You can give that garland to someone. You don't have to give it to the bell. You can give it to someone. Where'd you put it? You can give it to someone. I don't think the bell will appreciate it very much. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee, text number 18. Yat
Anucharita
Lila
Karna
Piyusha
Vipruth
Sakrit
Arana
Viduta
Dvanva
Dharma
Vinashta
Sapadi
Griha
Kutumbam
Dinam
Utsrija
Dina
Bahava
Iha
Vihanga
Rikshu
Charyam
Charanti
Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyushavi Prut Sakri Dhadana Viduta Dhanva Dharma Vinashta Sapadi Griha Kutumbam Dinam Utsrija Dina Bahava Iha Vihanga Bhikshu Charyam Charanti Lila of such pastimes. Karna
for the ears.
Piyusha
of the nectar.
Viprut
of a drop.
Sakrit,
just once.
Adana,
by the partaking.
Viduta,
removed entirely.
Dvanva,
of duality.
Dharma,
their propensities.
Vinashta,
ruin.
Sapadi,
immediately.
Griha,
their home.
Kutumbam,
and families.
Dinam,
wretched.
Utsrija,
rejecting.
Dina,
becoming themselves wretched.
Bahava,
many persons.
Iha,
here.
In Vrindavan.
Vihanga,
like birds.
Bhikshu,
a begging.
Charyam,
the livelihood.
Charanti,
they pursue.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
To hear about the pastimes that Krishna regularly performs is nectar for the ears. For those who relish just a single drop of that nectar, even once, their dedication to material duality is ruined. Many such persons have suddenly given up their wretched homes and families, themselves becoming wretched, traveled here to Vrindavan to wander about like birds, begging for their living. Please repeat. To hear about the pastimes that Krishna regularly performs. Is nectar for the ears.
For
those who relish just a single drop of that nectar,
even once,
their dedication to material duality is ruined. Many such persons have suddenly given up their wretched homes.
Many such persons have suddenly given up their wretched homes.
And families.
And families.
And themselves becoming wretched.
And themselves becoming wretched.
Travel here to Vrindavan.
Travel here to Vrindavan.
To wander like birds.
To wander like birds.
Begging for their living.
Begging for their living.
Purport. Material duality is based on falsely thinking this is mine and that is yours, or this is our country and that is yours, or this is my family and that is yours, and so on. In fact, there is one absolute truth in which we all exist and to whom everything belongs. His beauty and pleasure are also absolute and infinite, and if one actually hears about the absolute truth called Krishna, one's dedication to the illusion of mundane duality is spoiled. According to the Acharyas, and certainly in accord with Sanskrit grammar, the last two words of the second line of this text may also be divided dharma avinashta, and the entire line becomes part of a single compound, the meaning of which is that hearing about Krishna cleanses one of irreligious duality, and thus one is not vanquished avinashta by material illusion. The word dina is then given the alternate reading of dira, meaning that one becomes spiritually sober and thus gives up attachment to fleeting material relationships. The word ihanga, birds, would in this case refer to swans, the symbol of essential discrimination. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes Srila Rupa Goswami as follows in connection with this verse: Bhangya tya gochiti tasya kaghanam api kedana yatra sanushayam prokta tadbhavet abhijalpitam. When a lover indirectly states with remorse that her beloved is fit to be given up, such speech uttered like the plaintive crying of a bird is called abhijalpa. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama Dvanvair Vimukta Sukhatuka Sangar Gatantamada Namuda Padam Abhiyam Tat. That those who are free from illusion, Nirmana Moha, those who are free from false prestige and illusion, who've given up Jita Sangha Dosha, who've given up this false association. Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya, who understand the eternal, Vinivritta Kama, and who are free from lust. Dvanvaya Vimukha, who have given up the sense of duality, Sukaduka Sangar, and who are free from this duality of happiness and distress, Kachant Yamuda Padam Abhyamta, they are able to attain to the spiritual kingdom. Many ways the process of elevation to Krishna consciousness is explained, but in that particular verse it was said, Niramana, one who's free from false prestige. False prestige means that by identifying ourselves with this body, we think we're something special. Or as Queen Kunti says, Dhanvaishvarya Shuta Shivir Edamanak Madatpuman Naivahat Yavudatum Vai Tvama Kinshana Gochara. Generally speaking, we have to have something to think or to become proud of. So if one has janma, one is born nowadays in a Western body, or living in the Western world, that's considered to be a high birth. Previously, if one was born in a Brahminical family or a Kshatriya family, that was considered high birth. But nowadays, you just have to be born in Australia or America, and that's considered a high birth. The promised lands. There's no sense of what high birth means because people are in ignorance. They think high birth means material opportunities for sense gratification. That would be considered in the Vedic culture the lowest birth, when someone has unrestricted opportunities for sense gratification. That's considered a low birth. And in the Western world, or in modern society, it's considered a high birth. Because the more one is absorbed in sense gratification, the more one is forgetful of one's actual spiritual identity. And since the aim of life is to get out of material illusion, taking birth in a society which is absorbed in material illusion is not considered very auspicious. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's hard to find any place or society which is not absorbed in illusion. Television has become omnipresent, and everyone is more or less taking as their leader whatever character is on the television. In any case, somehow or another, if one is factually born in a high family, in an elevated family, or if one is just imagining that, or Aishvarya, of course nowadays people are thinking that they're wealthy, but they don't even know what wealth is. Real wealth is pure air, clean water, healthy food, peaceful life, nice relationships, freedom from anxiety. That's wealth. But in modern society, they take, if you have enough paper or plastic, then you're considered wealthy. And if you have some things made out of steel and rubber or plastic, that's also considered wealth. But in any case, people are imagining that they're wealthy nowadays. Although they're all, practically everyone's poverty stricken, because wealth is supposed to be producing happiness, but their so-called material advancement is just producing problems for everyone. And Aishvarya, Shuddha, means knowledge. Nowadays, people are cultivating ignorance in the name of knowledge. They think they know so many things, which are all based upon ignorance. But the real knowledge, they have no idea what real knowledge is. Still, somehow or another, we have a sense that we know something, although we don't even know who we are. We don't even know who's controlling everything. We don't know how things are being controlled. And Srivir, beauty. People have some sense of what beauty is nowadays, but in any case, people think they're beautiful. But whatever ignorance or knowledge we may have, whatever wealth we think we have, whatever, but it has nothing to do with us, because we're not the body. If you're watching a movie, and on the movie the hero is fabulously wealthy, and you identify with the hero, it doesn't mean that you become fabulously wealthy. You're just identifying with the hero. Similarly, this body is not us. We have nothing to do with the body, ultimately. We're going to live forever, long after this body disappears and is forgotten in oblivion. Therefore, it's only by imagination that we're identifying ourselves with the body, and by imagination we think we have so much material opulence, both gross and subtle. But it's just an imagination. Still, due to that imagination, we're not performing activities which will actually get us out of illusion. The activities that will get one out of illusion, namely devotional service, are neglected because people think that they have a very good shelter in the form of Janma, Aishvarya, Shuddha, and Srivir. But Queen Kunti says that this is madak, that this is madness. It is just another phase of madness. Unfortunately, by associating with so many mad people, we've taken it as normal to be mad. And if someone makes any endeavor to get out of their madness, we think they're mad. In that way, the valuable human form of life is spoiled. And people are just becoming more and more puffed up. Although the society is falling apart in every respect, although it is probably one of the most barbaric civilizations that have ever existed, where people are destroying whole groups of people simply for their sense gratification, which they're not even achieving. Although the society is rapidly degrading, so much so that people can't even live together in a family. They can't. Violence, all kinds of sinful activity, ignorance, although it's rapidly going downhill, still people are puffed up, thinking that they're somehow or another elevated. So this is nirmana moha, certainly due to illusion. And people are anxious to get more and more absorbed in illusion. Jita sangha dosha, absorbed in such illusion, puffed up by false prestige. Therefore, there's so much faulty association. The newspapers, the magazines, the radio, colleges, so many societies. It is all bad association because it's just one mad person encouraging another mad person to become more and more mad. It is not that when I went to the university, Prabhupada came and visited, and he didn't tell me, but the first thing he told our temple president was that this place, the university, is a slaughterhouse. So it is not that it has become something other than a slaughterhouse now. It is still a slaughterhouse because it has nothing to do with the reality of the soul, nor the supreme soul. Therefore, it is simply killing the sense of Krishna consciousness. We may think it's necessary for economic development, therefore we have to send our children, we ourselves have to go to school. But actually economic development is not based upon modern civilization conception. Economic development, for economic development, one simply needs a little land and a cow and some roof over one's head. That's all that's necessary. We think we need more things because we're absorbed in illusion. We want more and more things that are useless. Computers, televisions, radios, whatever else, internet. We can't live without the internet. We can't live without our DVD player. But these are not necessary for survival. What's necessary for survival is Krishna consciousness. But because we're addicted to technological development, Prabhupada said that the Westerners, which I'm one of them, They're so much addicted to technology they can't live without it. Prabhupada gives the example, one man was visiting. He was a fisherman and he had to stay over someone's house. So he was in his house and the man asked him, please leave your fish outside. So all night long he was tossing and turning. He couldn't go to sleep. So the man said, well, what's the problem? He said, unless I can smell the fish, I can't sleep. So Prabhupada said, unless people smell a machine in the Western world, they can't sleep. They become very restless. But these are not necessary. They're anarthas. What's actually necessary is absorption in Krishna consciousness. And although we make our attempts to use the technology in Krishna's service, it's not necessary to have technology to be engaged in Krishna's service, and it's not necessarily an advantage in our Krishna consciousness. As I gave the example, one time the devotees, they were trying to, in one of our farms in America, they wanted to become self-sufficient. And they heard self-sufficiency means to rely upon the land and the cow. Therefore, they decided that all their needs would be met just by depending on the cow and the land. They had around 150 cows and around 300 acres of land. And they decided that our basic necessities of life included everyone had to have a car, everyone had to have a video, everyone had to have a computer, everyone had to take a trip to India at least once a year on pilgrimage. And the cow had to provide all of this through its milk. Unfortunately, 150 cows couldn't provide everything that the devotees thought were basic necessities of life. And so they increased the number of cows to give milk. And then, of course, it still couldn't meet their necessities, so they abandoned the idea of cows meeting our necessities and said Prabhupada had the wrong idea. It's not possible to have self-sufficiency just by cows and land. Of course, in the Vedic culture, when people had cows and land, they didn't have to take a yearly vacation to the Western world or wherever they had to go. Nor did they have to have support the internet and the computers and videos and cars. The cow had less of an obligation to support. In other words, unless we factually realize what it's like to think about Krishna, we can't understand what Krishna consciousness means. We're called the Hare Krishna movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In other words, our activities, whatever we're doing, is supposed to culminate in thinking about Krishna. But if we do everything but think about Krishna and then wonder what Hare Krishna is all about, then we've missed the whole point. And thinking about Krishna becomes easy if we hear about Krishna. And it becomes very difficult if we talk about other things. Although we think they're very necessary to find out exactly what's going on in every corner of this world. Because if you go on the internet, you can find out the details of every problem that people have, every place, all around the world. And you can absorb your mind in those problems. You can find out about the problems going on here in Melbourne. Or you can find out about the problems amongst the devotees in every part of the world too. Due to mass communication, we can absorb our minds in everything except for Krishna. And we can hear and chant about them, we can think about them, and then Krishna consciousness goes far, far away. And then when we chant our rounds, if we chant our rounds, if we're that much inspired, then we'll think about everything that we've heard about for the last day or so, or a week, or a month, or whatever. That's what we'll think about. And then we wonder why it's difficult to concentrate on hearing about Krishna. Because we're not hearing about Krishna, nor are we, because we're thinking about everything else we heard about. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is very simple for the simple. Simple means it's not that we're supposed to be stupid, that's not simple. Simple means that we simply follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And we don't mix it up with so many other ideas and conceptions and then wonder why it's very difficult to become Krishna conscious. So, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya, understand the eternal. That is, become convinced that we're actually eternal. That we're not this body. Where we don't really have to dwell completely on this body. Although to take care of this body is necessary. But it's not the only thing we should think about. We should also think about Krishna. And if one thinks about Krishna, Srimati Radharani says, then if one gets even a drop of that nectar, that one's whole material life is ruined. So we don't want to ruin our material life, do we? We got so many years left in this body to enjoy. And there's so many wonderful things that will happen to us in our future. Our astrologer has told us that. Even the person who is assassinated Mahatma Gandhi, he was an palmist. And when he was about to be hung, he looked at his palm, because his palm, according to his palm, according to his interpretation, he was going to live for many, many years. So he couldn't understand what was going on. There was some mistake. Similarly, if you go to an astrologer and they tell you how wonderful your life is going to be, he's cheating you, or she's cheating you. Because no one's going to have a wonderful life in this material world. Wonderful life in the material world means to get smashed by this material energy and realize that that's what it's all about. That's a wonderful life when you turn to Krishna and give up material life. And if you think you're going to enjoy in the material world You're going to have a nice family, nice society, friendship, love. You're going to get all the necessities, cars, the movies, everything that you want. You're going to be happily ever after. Then you're an illusion. And your astrologer, whoever else is advising you, is also an illusion. Real exaltation in this material world, real auspiciousness, is when you get disgusted with material energy and you realize that the higher taste of Krishna consciousness surpasses anything that material life can possibly even conceive of. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should get married and fight with our husband and wife, between husband and wife, put all the children in distress and say, well, we're just trying to help you Krishna consciousness. That's not the idea. Actually, when we follow the rules and regulations, that's difficult enough in household life. Four regular principles, etc. That's supposed to be household life. Then when you follow the four regular principles, you act according to dharmic activities, then the result is you actually have a nice relationship between the different members of the family. Because the desire to exploit each other diminishes. And therefore one can act with real affection, real concern for others. Then in that state, one has a reasonably nice household life, if not a nice household life. And then one realizes how insignificant household life is. One has to realize that household life is insignificant by having a nice household life, and at the same time absorbing one's mind in Krishna consciousness. Because when one tastes the Krishna consciousness in household life, or any kind of material life, sannyas life, vanaprastha life, brahmachari life, it's all insignificant. It doesn't matter what the material life is, grihesha thakur, vani thakur, it doesn't matter whether one is in the forest, or in a nice house, whatever, if one is Krishna conscious, then one sees that everything in this material world is insignificant compared to Krishna consciousness. And if one is not Krishna conscious, one will never be satisfied in any situation. If one becomes a householder, he'll want to become a sannyasi. And if one is a sannyasi and not following Krishna consciousness, then one will want to become a householder. And a brahmachari, well, brahmacharis are rare. Mostly they become brahmastras. Cross between brahmacharis and grihastas. Just ready to explode and cause all kinds of destruction. And vanaprastha means to retire with our television and video and watch the latest movies in Vrindavan. Just so I can make sure I'm up to date. No, in any situation, one should try to rise above this false conception by hearing regularly, try to understand, and then utilizing our valuable form of life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, we cannot help but think of Krishna. That's Krishna's suggestion. That one should organize one's life so that one can think of Krishna. It doesn't mean we have to change from one status of life to the next. Dhani, sthita, shuti, gitam, tanuvanganobir. Remaining in any circumstance, it doesn't really matter. But if one regularly hears about Krishna and then follows the instruction so that one can factually think about Krishna, then one will associate with Krishna in that way and feel transcendental happiness and enlightenment. That will encourage one to purify one's activities even more, simplify one's life even more, so that hearing and chanting about Krishna becomes the very basis of one's life. Otherwise, remaining in our material concept of life, this duality, then we'll think that these are women, these are men, these are Australians, these are Americans, these are Iraqis, whatever. These are insects, animals, whatever. And we'll forget that everyone is actually Krishna's servant. And forgetting that, we'll forget Krishna. If we can't see how everyone's Krishna's servant, then how are we going to remember Krishna? And if we remember that everyone's Krishna's servant, automatically we'll also remember Krishna. Therefore, when we're taking prasadam, we should remember this is Krishna's prasadam. When we see the sun, we should remember it's Krishna's sun. When we see other living entities, we should remember they belong to Krishna. And especially the human beings, we should give them the opportunity to remember Krishna also, to understand how things are related to Krishna. Sometimes I go on the internet, at least, I must admit, to see what the headlines are, and they're all bad. And they're getting worse. And they're going to get worse. And there are other, the ones I go on are all explaining how bad things are. And how the government's cheating us. And you know, there's a little bit of truth there, exposing all the different problems. But the real problem is not exposing the problems. The real problem is illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication. That's the problem. So unless one exposes those as the problem, unless one solves those problems, then whether someone, so-and-so prime minister or so-called president, whatever, is cheating us, someone's going to cheat us. Material nature will supply someone to cheat us. There are no solutions unless one becomes Krishna conscious. And there are no material solutions unless one gives up sinful activity. As long as there's sinful activity going on, then there's simply going to be problems for everyone. And unless one becomes Krishna conscious in this age, there is only going to be sinful activities. The mode of goodness is not going to rise spontaneously in Kali Yuga. If there is more vegetarians, if there are more people following the principles of religion, it's only because of the Hare Krishna movement. Specifically, the whole distribution of prasadam, the holy name, and Srila Prabhupada's literature. Otherwise, there's no other reason why there's any kind of pious activity going on. So without the spreading of the Sankirtan movement, society is already going to hell, and it'll continue to go to hell, no matter how people, many exposés, auroras, and scandals. They're unlimited in Kali Yuga. And even the people who are exposing all these scandals, their lives are full of scandals too. And ultimately, even if they think they're pious, unless by exposing these things, unless they follow these principles of freedom, and unless they become Krishna conscious, all their endeavors will be shrava eva hi kevalam, simply a waste of time. Therefore, we have a great responsibility to try to become Krishna conscious, and at the same time, we have a great responsibility to spread this Krishna consciousness to others. Otherwise, we won't be inspired to become Krishna conscious ourselves. And at the same time, we should try to modify our lives in such a way as that we maximize our hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that we actually think about Krishna during the day, that it's not simply something that once in a while during the Bhagavatam class we remember Krishna, and for the rest of the day we're in some other world. We're in the real world. Our world. Oh, we should try to become Krishna conscious in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day we cannot help but think about Krishna, and then we'll see this world for what it really is. If it's good enough for Srimati Radharani, it should be good enough for us too. So we'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
You talk about the regular principles of freedom. So how would you explain that to a new person, for example? Following these regular principles and engaging in devotional service is beneficial for ourselves and society. So it seems a bit of a paradox, but a contradictory regular principles in terms of restricting yourself from all these activities, but then you get freedom from it. So how would you explain that?
By regulating your life, you get freedom.
Yeah, for example, there's a...
Your consciousness becomes free. Now our life is unregulated. It doesn't mean we're free. We're free to follow the demands of our senses and mind. Lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion. We're free to follow those. That's not freedom. But we're free to follow Krishna. That's our freedom. And when we follow Krishna, we regulate this body that we're in. Just like if you're in a car, if you think I'm free to let the car go wherever it's going to drive, I'm free to do that. Yes, you're free to do that and crash with the car. But when you, real freedom is when you take control of the car and you drive it to where you want to go. So we're saying take control of this car and bring yourself to a higher platform of experience. We're not the car, so restraining the car doesn't mean we're restraining ourselves. Not that the soul is going to put himself in prison by restraining the wild horses of the senses and the mind. No, that's beginning to take real responsibility for what we're doing. And then, when we direct the mind and the senses in the proper way, then we actually get freedom from material illusion, and we enter into our real life again. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthurashima Bhagavatam Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premanand.